tumultuous debates that go on in Israel today that we'll see the source for in the Gemara, women's service in the military, which is a very contentious issue in certain quarters. So we'll see, what the, for those who are interested in halacha, as we are, what the bases of the conversation are. So this is the top of the test, Amud Aleph. again, picking up exactly where we had left off. So, Ikata Amri, Amr Bichia Bar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Hamavir, Beis HaShachi, a person who would shave underneath their arms, or Beis HaErva, or in their private areas, Loka. It sounds like it's an Issa Daraisa, and there's Malkus, Mishum Lo Yilbash Gever, Simlas Isha. Is that this is indelibly affiliated with female activity, and therefore it's prohibited for a male to engage in the activity. So Simlas Isha is to be broadly defined. We're not talking about merely, putting on a dress or something like that. We're talking about, activity that's indelibly associated with women. Now, the Rambam here is a very important point that people have to understand. The Rambam was very attuned to the fact that, styles are very geographically rooted. For example, there may be, and in my view are, other halachic issues with this, but let's say pants, is that considered, a chli gever as far as women are concerned? And the answer for the Rambam's point of view is it would depend. He says it has to be a kli, which is miyuchad the ish. Of all the pants sold in the United States, I would, imagine that, somewhere close to 50% are sold to women. That is not a kli hamiyuchad liisha. Does that mean that it's halachically acceptable? In my view, no, for other reasons. Doesn't mean that I think every skirt is acceptable either. Very, very far from it. We all know that. We all know that there are skirts that meet the quote-unquote technical requirements of length and, are about as far as from tznius as anything in the world could be. But the Rambam's basic point is that everything has to be, measured relative to a given society. For example, Ken, because we were just talking about Islam, in certain Islamic societies, particularly common in Pakistan and Afghanistan, men will wear a garment that would be more likely associated with a female garment in the United States of America, okay? That, that is certainly not a beged isha, because these things are determined contextually and sociologically. So that's a very important point to be, cognizant of when talking about this. It has to be, as Rambam says, miyuchad le'ish, or miyuchad le'isha, ba'oso hamakom uva'oso hazman. 100 years ago in the United States of America, this is a commercial fact. You can look this up. If you looked at the number of pants that were sold in the United States in, let's say, 1923 as opposed to 2023, I haven't looked at this statistic, but I would venture that over 90% of them were sold to men. And I think that's a conservative estimate, okay? So clearly, the mores of society impact how we define something being exclusively or even predominantly male or female, klim yuchad le'ish, klim yuchad le'isha. Okay, so that's a very, very important point to be cognizant of. Okay, so the Gemara then says, Meisvei, havara seyar enemy de retar, enemy de re sofer. Maybe then lean the sinner sidera banan. Hu damar ki aitana, detanya mavir beisa shachir beisa erva, hareza over mishum le yulbash gever simlas isha. The tanakama, hailo yulbash gever, my darish bay. So he doesn't interpret it that way. As an Issa Daraisa, Mibailech Netanya Lochi Agui Gever Al Isha, Maitam Lomar, Imshlo Yobash Ish Simlas Isha, Isha Simlas Ish, Harek Varnemar To Eva He, Vein Kan To Eva, Elashlo Yobash Ish Simlas Isha, Vieshe Ben Anashim, Avisha Simlas Ish, Viteshe Ben Anashim. So he had a very different understanding, and again, this is a critical part of the halachic discussion, that maybe the entire restriction of Chli Gever and Beged Ish, Simlas Isha, has to do with znus, which is to say that it was a way for a man to ensconce himself in a female-only environment, especially in societies where there was more, you know, hafradat minim, there was more gender separation, for the sake of engaging in znus, and vice versa, for a woman to go into what would typically be a male environment. And this seems confusing to Westerners today because in a more egalitarian society, you don't need to dress up to have access to members of the opposite gender. But let's say if you're going to go to Kiryas Yoel, you know, or whatever it is, where men and women walk on other sides of the street and you wanted lasciviously, promiscuously to have access to women, you might need to dress as a woman to get onto their side of the street, so to speak. So one of the perspectives about Chli Gever and about Beged Isha would relate exactly to this question about having access for purposes of znus. That's what makes it to'eva. Now, this can obviously lead to a kula as well. I myself am not a great supporter of this, but there are serious people who think that it's permissible. Let's say on Purim, for a man to dress as a woman, or for a woman to dress as a man, because then obviously there's no intention, there's no context of somehow trying to infiltrate into the Ezras Nashim to be able to hear the Megillah there or whatever it is. I would not encourage anybody to do that, but the point is that this perspective in many, many ways could be a kula because it takes away from the objective question of, you know, what article of clothing am I wearing, and puts it more in the direction of what do I hope to achieve by doing so. Yeah, Kent, go ahead.
You answer the question, sorry.
Oh, I get a bonus when that happens. It's a joke. Okay, so now we come to the other interpretation. So Reb Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, and remember Mishnah, so Reb Lazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, Minayin shelo seitzi isha b'chli zayin l'mochama, Tamil Omer lo yechli gever alisha, v'lo yobash gever simlas isha, shelo itakin ish b'tikune isha, a man shouldn't use tikune isha, which again has a lot to do with cosmetics, ornaments, and the like. And for the man, has to do, for the woman, excuse me, this would have to do with Kli Zayin, the Milchama, with, you know, weapons. Okay, so where to begin? as people know, this has been a source of great contention in Eretz Yisrael and over the course of the last, I would say, especially 10 years. Like all issues, there are the kitzonim in both directions. And then there are people who understand that, you know, you have to look into these things in depth. So what it says here, and Rashi already discusses, is that we have examples of female heroines in the Tanakh, you know, who played a major role in Jewish military victories. One of them, of course, is Yael, Eishes Chaver HaKeni, right? She won the victory for the Jewish people. But interestingly, she didn't use a typical weapon of war. You know, Yada liyaseh tishlachna, she used a stake and drove it through Sisera's head, right? She didn't use a howitzer, an AK-47. So maybe that's, you know, itself, you know, part of this Saraya. Also, what does it mean? You know, Kli Zayin, should women not carry guns? Or is it just Kli Zayin l'milchama? Is it about going out, you know, to war? And how does this interact with the halacha, the milchama's mitzvah, afilu chasa mechadro v'kala mechupasa, right? So, you know, one of the great challenges we have today is to have an objective halachic discussion, you know, without, the political overtones. It's very, very contentious. But the truth of the matter is that we have to try to negotiate these sources just internally. There clearly is a principle that b'vachames mitzvah, it's all hands on deck. One of the things that I would point out is that in most, let's say, Western NATO-style armies, including the American Army, the Israeli Army, etc., for every combat soldier, there are approximately 9 non-combat soldiers. It's just the way an army works, okay? There's just a tremendous... Think about the person who flies the plane, right? For every person who flies the plane, you have a ground crew of 20 people. Literally, a ground crew of 20 people. Making sure the plane is armed, making sure the plane is fueled, making sure the plane is safe. So there are a lot of ways of participating in, without necessarily, you know, being the ones to carry the Kli Zayin, the Milchama. What about carrying a Kli Zayin in general? Not so much the Milchama. Let's say this became a very contentious issue. I'm not going to mention the name, but there was the wife of a very controversial Israeli politician today who is very proud to let everybody know that she carries a gun around, and this became a big discussion. Not so much for halachic reasons. Is that part of this restriction, according to those who assume that there's really restriction? She's not going to war. She's not in the army, right? But she's carrying it around for personal safety. What about women arming themselves in this context? So, as we should generally assume, is pikuach nefesh is docha is kol haTorah kula. So you can make a very strong argument. Not everybody will agree to this, that if it's necessary for pikuach nefesh, then not only men, but women, you know, maybe need to be armed in certain areas where they could encounter, you know, roadside terrorism and the like, and they're driving, you know. So these are very important questions that have to be evaluated. So, you know, rather than take, like I said, either kitzoni, you know, very extreme position, there are, in my judgment, ways of acknowledging chasam echadra v'kala mechupasa, and still also acknowledging Kli Zayin the Milchama, and at the same time noting that, you know, pikuach nefesh here is a kind of a trump card, if you will. You know, if it's deemed absolutely necessary, then there is a path forward. Now, that too has to be done with sensitivity to the previous halacha. Remember, the previous halacha was Isha Bein Ha'anashim, V'ish Bein Hanashim, right? We still have to care a lot about that. So, you know, for example, and I'm not advocating one policy, you know, here necessarily over the other, but there's a difference between, let's say, okay, we're going to have women serve in tanks. That's still very different than saying we're going to have women serve alongside men in tanks. Okay, everybody appreciate that difference? If you have a tank crew of four and it's four women, that's a very different halachic proposition than two men and two women in the same tank, in those kinds of quarters, okay? And it actually emerges in a fascinating way from the same halacha, because these are two interpretations of chigever and beged isha, right? Simlas isha, right? One of them is about maintaining, right, tahara, maintaining moral standards. You don't want an isha bein hanashim, you don't want an ish bein hanashim. And meidach gisa, then you have the question of Kli Zayin the Milchama. So these are the issues where I think reasonable people can see that there are ways of drawing distinctions that can address many of the halachic concerns. So let me go to Aaron and then Ken.
In terms of halacha, so we take into account both of these views?
We do. But, of course, applying them, you know, in light of pikuach nefesh, in light of how one understands the status of contemporary milchama, is this, remember the Rambam, that Ezra says, Yisrael miyatzar sheba aleihem, there are those who want to say that everything that Tzahal does today is a milchamas mitzvah. That happens not to be my view. I don't think that everything that Tzahal does is begeder milchamas mitzvah. I think that's a very extreme view. But if you take that view, then you say, afilu chasen mechadro v'kala mechupasa. Now all of a sudden, women can be, you know, part of the military service. So does that only mean logistics? Does that mean, you know, so application is still a complicated question.
But even if we don't say it's milchama, in other words, you don't, your opinion is that you don't think it comes up to milchama's mitzvah, but I think that we always have to consider that Israel is on a war footing almost, you know, since its existence.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that falls on the line. Is it closer to milchama's mitzvah to say you're on a war footing, or is it more on the direction of pikuach nefesh?
Yeah. I think that's just the Aaron, you put your finger on the issue. The Rav actually said that. The Rav, you know, my position is basically rooted in the comment that the Rav made, that he felt 1948, there was a very strong you know, that this was a war for survival of the Jewish people. 1956, he said, he didn't think that that was in any way, thought that was more of a political machinations, you know, between the great powers, England, France, Israel, and Egypt. He did not, so that happens to be my view as well. I think that yesh v'yesh, there are certainly moments when you could say it's existential, but then there's also like the pikuach nefesh concern, for example.
Which I think, you know, how can you shrink from saying that it's pikuach nefesh when, you know, throughout its history, maybe there's an intifada, maybe there's not, maybe there's ramming of cars. So starting from its nascence till today, I think pikuach nefesh should rule the day, even if it's not Melchavis Mitzvah.
I totally agree. Which is why I think that it's totally appropriate, you know, and I don't care what anybody else says, that if a woman is, let's say, drives in areas where there are lo aleinu, you know, roadside shootings, and she drives with her kids, whatever, drives herself, I think it makes a lot of sense for her to be armed and to her to know how to use the weapon. I'm not saying that I would apply the same standard to a woman who lives in Mea Sharim. You know, maybe that will change, but you know, that would be from, you know, again, you have to ask the poskim there who are more familiar with the facts on the ground. But I think, you know, like I said, yesh v'yesh, I think they're real questions that have to be evaluated in a non, you know, polemical kind of a way, you know, just to see, well, what are the facts? And, you know, it's like, it's the same halacha that comes up, you know, let me give you an analog here. The Gemara says it's aser, simply nas iser min haTorah, to bring a Kli Zayin into the base medrash, to bring a gun into shul. It's true. But we have today people who carry guns in shul. Why? Because we live in an environment that's different than the environment that we were in 20 years ago. And unfortunately, you know, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, we have an environment where experts will disagree. Is it a smart thing? Is it not a smart thing? But we live in an environment where there are people who feel that they need to be armed in shul. So even though all else being equal, we learn this halacha from Pinchas. It says Vayakom mitocheda beikach romach biyado, that Pinchas only took the spear once, you know, the weapon of war, once he exited the Beis Medrash or the Beis Haknesses or the Ol Moed, whatever. The halacha is that pikuach nefesh docha. So some people here who may have had experience davening in certain communities in Eretz Yisrael, where literally every single person is carrying a sidearm. Every single person, without exception. Okay, yeah, Ken.
I'll just make a quick point, but I think we're going over this. With tank crews, if you had a two-person tank, you had a married couple, or if you had a four-person tank with two married couples. I don't want to run this into the ground, though.
Yeah, the two married couples doesn't help so much. Because you still have, but if you had a two-man crew, the truth is Israel doesn't field any of those tanks. But to the best of my knowledge, maybe they have secret two-man tanks. But yeah, okay, that would be a solution. And a Hanami. So there you go. See, Ken, they're going to put you on the general staff if you keep on coming up with these ideas. Okay, it's no problem with mixed gender tank units as long as the crewmates are married to each other. I like that. Okay,
Rabbi, you were referring to carrying guns here in the States in shul,
right? But I'm saying yeah, there are plenty of people who arm themselves in shul, so that's that too is restricted. But okay, pikuach nefesh. Okay. I don't say it happily. I wish none of this were necessary.
Right, right.
Okay. So, Amr Nachman bin Nazir Mutter. He says maybe a Nazir is an exception, right? It overrides. It's like we talked about the Asay Do Chalos Asay. V'leis Hilchus HaKavase. So, Amr Le Rabbanu Le Reb Shimon Ra'aba Chazir Le Reb Yochanan De Leislai. We saw that Reb Yochanan didn't have Seir Beis HaShachi. Amr Le Rabbanu Zikna Nashru. He was old. His hair fell out. So a person was chayiv malkos in front of Rabami, and you know, when they took off his shirt to give him malkos, they saw that he had sayar beis hashachi. There's chazye delo megaleach samelon Rabami shivkua. Let's not give him Malkos. Dein min chavrayahu. We see that he observes the halacha. So, ba'im ne rav me rav chia ma'u legalayach. It's a machokas rishonim here. Rashi assumes we're talking about with scissors. Samalei asr. This is prohibited. Samalei v'alka gadol, but it's growing. Maybe it's uncomfortable. Amalei bar pechasi. Son of the Talmidei Chachamim. Zman yesh lo kol zman shir gadol no shir. That it falls out on its own once it gets too long. Don't worry. So, ba'im ne rav me rav chia ma'u lachuch. Okay, it's a sort of rub it out with one's hands. I'm relay aser. The big doma, what about using one's beged? So I'm relay mutter as long as you're not doing it directly. So ikadami ba'imine b'tfila b'big doma mai. Let's say it's bothering you, you're distracted during davening. I'm relay aser. So he said it was restricted. We feel that we have the right to be megel. Now, I want to make one final comment about this before we continue on Amud Beis, is that there is still a sensitivity. There are certain things that you could argue are technically permissible, but I do not think that we can ignore, or we should ignore, the spirit of the law in this case. Rashi al HaTorah mentions in the context of Yosef HaTzadik v'hu na'ar. Remember what Rashi says? That misalsal b'saro. It's perfectly developmentally normal for a young woman, a 17-year-old woman, to be brushing her hair and, you know, to be worried about that. That's not the way we want to raise our boys. They should be menschlich, they should be presentable, but they should not be spending, you know, a significant amount of time involved in that kind of personal grooming. That's not appropriate, and there is a very important gender distinction to be drawn in that way. Developmentally, we have to be sensitive to the halachic ethos in this regard, and that applies at all stages in life. If people don't understand, it means that they haven't been exposed to how, when a woman of any age, 70s, 80s, 90s, for a woman, her sense, and we've seen explicit gemaras to this effect, and a woman's appearance is a very important part of her sense of dignity in a way that doesn't resonate for a man. And the halacha respects that difference in a very profound way. There are critical distinctions in terms of personal grooming that need to be. Again, a man should feel a sense of self-esteem and etc. This comes up, let's say, most often, and that'll be the last example I give. So let's say you have the question of plastic surgery and the question of, is this chovel ba'atzmo? It's not medically necessary. So I am very, very far from amongst those who says all plastic surgery is mutter for women. And I think there is a grotesque culture around that, unfortunately, in certain sectors of the Torah community, which is sometimes even being imposed on these girls. The shiduchin, that a girl wouldn't even want it herself, and whatever it is, her mother, or whatever, the community is exerting a tremendous amount of pressure, that even if you don't have any kind of, you know, obvious need, that it's like de rigueur. That is very, very unhealthy and highly objectionable. And in my view, you know, clearly aser min haTorah. It's a chovel ba'atzmo. On the other hand, there are situations where, for a woman, for reasons both of mental health and others, that it can be appropriate and has to be taken seriously. That would not exactly be the same standards. Now, of course, there are cases where there could be men in similar situations, whether it's a mental health issue, it has to be taken into account. But there are, here again, gender differences that have to be acknowledged in the halachic approach to these issues. So again, I'm not saying that for women everything is permissible, and for a man, everything is prohibited. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that that has to be a factor in terms of understanding what the appropriate parameters are in terms of this issue, because again, Chli Gever and Beged Isha is about much more than just a dress, you know, or a gun. It has to do with, you know, what's considered acceptable, as the Rambam says, within that time and that place. Okay, so we saw before in the Tesamit Beis that a situation where you had two Nazirim walking along, and there was a suffix as to which of them became Tame. So now, let's say one of them dies. So you're not going to have the ability that they should both show up at the end of the period of Nazirus and, you know, do the alternating korbanos. So how are we going to handle this situation? So Meisachan Mehem. So I'm Rabbi Yeshua, Yivake Shachan Minashuk. You go out into the marketplace and you start recruiting. So either Kenegdo Benazir, and now they form a new Zug. V'olmer Yim Tamei Hayisi, Abam the one that's Tamei, Re'at HaNazir, Miad. V'im Tawar Hayisi, Abam the one that's Tawar, Re'at HaNazir, Achar Shloshim Yom. V'sofrim Shloshim Yom, V'in Karban Tumba, V'Karban Tara, V'olmer, and they do the whole, you know, the whole act. Imani Hu HaTamei, Karban Tumba Shali, V'Karban Tara Shalchav. Imani Hu HaTawar, Karban Tara Shali, V'Karban Tumba B'Safik, V'sofrim Shloshim Yom. They wait another 30 days, obviously. Umivian Korban Tara Veomer Imani Atame Korban Tuma Shali Vikorban Tara Shulcha Vizak Korban Tarasi Vimaniwa Tahor Korban Tara Shali. Okay, after 30 days, Vikorban Tuma Bisafek. Okay, Vizau Korban Taraska. So Ben Zoma says, but how are you going to recruit people for this? Some of them Ben Zoma Mishomeolo Shidor Kinegdo Binazir. Who's signing up for this? Elamevi, so here's what you do. So you should bring the Chata Sa'of, okay, which is obviously associated with the Nazir and Nitma, the Olas Behema, the Omer, Im Tame Ayisi, HaChatas Mechavasi, the Ola Nadava, the Im Tawar Ayisi, HaOla Mechavasi, because the Karban Ola is part of the process of a Nazir who becomes Tawar, the Achatas Misafik, the Sover Shloshim Yom, and he waits another 30 days. Umevi Karban Tara, and then he, you know, finishes up his Karban Tara, okay, which includes the Shlamim. V'omim Tamei Yisi Ha'ola Rishon Nedava V'zo Chova. V'im Tamor Ha'isi Ha'ola Rishon Chova V'zo Nedava V'zo Shar Korbani, and then he brings the rest of his Korban, including, as I say, the Korban Shlamim. So I'm Rabbi Yeshua Nimtazah Mevi Karbanosa V'chatzayim. So Rabbi Yeshua says this person is bringing his korbanos in two different stages. Avol hodu lo chacham in the Ben Zoma, but the rabbis acceded to this view of Ben Zoma. So the Gemara says that
you're not recruiting according to Ben Zoma, you don't recruit.
Who's going to sign up? Right. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand the lazy, so let him bring his korbanos to chatzai. But there's some rule against that. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Amar Rabbi Yeshua lechadid boas atalmidim. This is one of those moments where Rabbi Yeshua knew it wasn't a problem, but he wanted to test the Talmidim if they, you know, thought there was any problem with this. So Rav Nachman said it was no joke. I'm Rav Nachman, my other later, Rabbi Yeshua, Ladake, the Listeru. So he says, no, the concern was that if you're maybe Karbanos, Lechatzoin, that there could be, when it comes to the Dakin, the Chelev, which is Allah Kerib, Parshas Vayikra, that could go become Masriach. In the span of time that it takes to undergo these multiple giluchim, giluach tatara, giluach tatuma, etc. So no, maybe that was a very serious concern that he had. Okay, so we'll just cover the Mishnah and then we'll begin at the top of Samach Amid Aleph tomorrow. So Nazir Shayatame Bisafik, as you've seen many times, we're not really sure if he had a negat saras or not. Umuchlat Bisafik. So ochel b'katshim achar shishim yom. He can have the katshim after shishim yom, the shloshim, and then the shloshim. Right? Remember, he has to have the multiple giluchim, misafik, v'shosa yayin, and time of the mesim, achar mei v'esrim yom. And he can end his nazirus definitively after 4 units of 30 days. Shetiglachas hanega, as we explained, the tiglachas nega, even though it's misafik, docha tiglachas hanazir. Bizman shu vadaya, bizman shu safek, eno docha. So, God willing, tomorrow, when we've seen many, many times this concept, so we'll start on the top of Samach Amud Aleph to go through some of the mechanics, and then, God willing, we shall finish the perek to tomorrow and begin Hakusim with the very end of the Masachta. So just like, again, to review, I think a very important point that we're talking about today, that when it comes to Chli Gever, when it comes to Simlas Isha, there are really three points. There's the Rambam's point, which is it should be taken into account what is sociologically normative. There is the question, number two, of morality, of not allowing for people to use this as a way of getting access to members of the opposite gender in an inappropriate kind of a way, which is a very, very significant factor. And then there's the, you know, the Chli Zayin issue. And the Chli Zayin issue has to be evaluated in a sober way, which takes into account legitimate personal security concerns, pikuach nefesh, as well as, obviously, cases of national security and milchama. And then again, like I said, you know, there's a spirit to the law here about what is acceptable behavior for a man and what is not acceptable behavior for a man and vice versa. The halacha acknowledges and embraces, without apology, the distinction. Yosef misalsel besaro haya. We have to be very, very careful about, allowing standards which are acceptable for females, again, within boundaries. Certainly shouldn't spend all day in front of a mirror. That's not healthy for anybody either, to become the standards for males. Okay, so that's a very, very important daf, obviously. That's all daf imar, but God willing, we shall pick it up there tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a good day.